like to speak about the prohibition and the parameters of what's called chanufa. Modern day translation of chanufa is flattery, but chanufa more accurately describes a type of behavior that's deceptive. When someone encourages the performance of misdeeds, sins, or if someone fraudulently misrepresents something as Torah or as acceptable behavior when it's not. And I guess I'd like to begin the shiur by asking two questions or giving two fact patterns for us to think about. The first question is, can I honor someone at my organization's dinner or fundraiser who will bring in a lot of money even though he or she is not Shabbos observant? What if he or she has a serious character flaw? What if he or she is known to have engaged in shady business dealings? And the second question is, can I attend the wedding of a friend, relative, or child who's getting married to a non-Jew or to a member of the same gender? In these type of situations, perhaps by honoring the person or attending the person's wedding, are we encouraging the performance of sins? Are we fraudulently misrepresenting something as Torah or acceptable behavior when it's not? How do we balance the different factors in deciding whether we should or should not engage in this behavior? So let's begin with the beginning. What's the nature of the prohibition of chanufa? So the Torah in Parshas Maaseh, Perek Lamed Hei, Pasuk Lamed Gimel tells us, "V'lo sachnifu es haaretz asher atem ba," that you should not chanifu. Maybe it's translated as pollute the land or corrupt the land. The uncle is translated, "Lo sachayvun," don't make the land wicked in which you live. And this pasuk is said in the context of murder. And it seems on the surface to say that don't engage in murder, and by murdering, you are polluting the land. But the Sifri explains, "V'lo sachnifu es haaretz harei zu azhara lachanifin," that that there's a prohibition to engage in chanufa. And the Ramban explains that the Torah had just said that you can't take bribes from murderers. And now the Torah is saying don't flatter murderers, because if you flatter or honor the murderers, then we will pollute the land. The Ramban seems to define chanufa as being unfaithful, that if we're unfaithful, then the land will be unfaithful to us. The Urayim also writes in Siman Resh Mem Ches that he cites the Sifri, that this is an azhara lachanifin, that this pasuk of Lo Sachnifu Aretz is a prohibition of engaging in chanufa. So he includes this in one of the 613 mitzvos. And he says, "Kol ha-shemea davar avla v'sheinu hagun o'ra davar rav." Anyone who hears something sinful or inappropriate, or he sees something bad, v'omer tofu, and he says that it's good, v'eino shosik mitoch yira, and he is not silent because of fear, lo bikufo lo mimono, he's not silent because of fear to his body or to his property, ale mitoch resha levavo, but he's silent because of the wickedness of his heart over below tachnif. Then he violates the prohibition of chanufa. Now some Rishonim do not include chanufa as one of the 613 mitzvahs, but they would categorize its violation as one of the other mitzvahs in the Torah. Now the most famous story of chanufa in Chazal is the story of Agrippus. Agrippus was a king who descended from Hordus or Herod. Herod or Hordus wiped out the Hashmonai dynasty. The Hashmonai were the ones from the Hanukkah story. And they ruled for a number of years until Hordus, probably they ruled for about 130 or so years after following the Hanukkah story. And then Herod, Hordus becomes the king. He wipes them out. Agrippus was a descendant of Hordus. And according to Chazal, Hordus came from slaves. And the Gemara in Sotah Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph says that even though during the procession called Hakel, or the ceremony called Hakel, the Hakel ceremony is observed once every 7 years, and the Sukkos following the Shemitah year, where the Torah, or different sections of the Torah, are read by the king, the king, if he comes from David HaMelech, would sit, but Agrippa stood, and the Chachamim praised him. And the Mishnah tells us that when he was reading from the Torah, where it says that you can't appoint upon yourself a foreigner to be your king, Zogo Ein of Demos, he tears flowed from his eyes. Amrulo, they said to him, Alti Sir Agrippa, Zacheni Wata Chenanta. The nation said, don't worry, Agrippa, you're our brother, you're our brother. And essentially what they did was, they told him it's okay for him to be their king, even though it seems that he descended from, like I said, slaves. He descends from a foreigner, but he came from non-Jewish slaves, and Torah prohibits this. And the Gemara in Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis states, Tana Mishmei de Rabbi Nassan, that it was taught in the name of Rabbi Nassan, Ba'osta Shon, Yishchayv Yisrael Yisrael Keliyah. At that moment, the Jewish people were sentenced for destruction for flattering Agrippus, Shechnifel Agrippus, because they flattered him. And Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta, Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta says, Miyom Shegavar Agropa Shel Chanufa, from the day that the power of flattery prevailed, Nisavsu Hadinim v'Niskalkul Amasi V'Edom Yochol Lomar L'Chaver Amasai Gedolim Masacha. From that day, people's deeds have been, judgment has been corrupted, people's deeds have been corrupted, and a person cannot say to another, my deeds are greater than yours, because everyone flatters one another, and people no longer know the truth. So, what is the definition of chanufa? So Tosfa says, in this Gemara, v'zo haysa chanufa, what was the chanufa? Shemalach bizroa shelo kedin, Torah, so he ruled with force against halacha. V'holdu lo v'chziku b'kach, and they admitted that he is the king, and they strengthened him in his position. As nihish lo yuchlu limchos, fine. Granted, they weren't able to protest. He was the king; they weren't. So how they couldn't have protested against him. Hayolahem lishtok v'lachziku, but they should have simply been silent and not to strengthen him in his false understanding. Vizel onesh chanufa. This is bidvar vera. This is the punishment of chanufa. This is the sin of chanufa for which you get punished when someone's engaging in a sinful behavior. Shemachnif lachaver machmas yiraso mipanav enochoshish al yiras kadosh baruch hu. That chanufa is flattering someone because you're more concerned not to offend the person. You're more concerned about not offending the sinner than you are about being disrespectful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in the Sefer Shari Tshuva, in Shar Gimel, Rabbeinu Yonah provides a whole host of examples of different types of chanufa, including that is praising a wicked person in front of other people, saying he's a good person without mentioning his misdeeds, or also not saying something when you have the ability to protest. There are many different types of chanufa. It's not that you simply, it's not when you simply fail to mention his sins, or it's when you praise him. It's not even about. Sometimes, for example, you want to talk about a particular person, and you go overboard in praising him, but you don't mention that he has all these flaws and he committed all these sins. So if you're trying to talk about a person and you're praising this wicked person, you're not mentioning about the sins he committed, so that would be chanufa. Or you have the ability to protest and you don't, that's also called chanufa. There's a whole list of many different types of chanufa if you look in Shar Gimel of Rabbeinu Yon and Shari Tshuva. Now, what are the exceptions for chanufa? Are you ever allowed to flatter someone? So there's Gemara in the Dharm Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph that tells a story of Ula b'miskel arad Yisrael. So he was going up to Eretz Yisrael. Islav ulei trained b'nei choza badei. So two residents of Chozai joined him. Kam chad shachti lechavri. One of them arose and slaughtered the other. So then Amar lei leula yavas avad. So then this person who slaughtered his friend asked Ula, did I do good? Was Was I correct in what I did? And Ula Amar Leinu Parala Beis Hashchita. Ula said, "Yeah, you did good and opened the place of slaughter." Meaning, he suggests that he cuts him more where he cut him so that he'll die faster. He asked the commander of Yochanan. Now Ula felt guilty. He came to Rav Yochanan and he said, "Dilma Chas V'Shalom Achzik De Ovei Aver. Did I strengthen the hands of a sinner?" So for this, Amalei Nafshchei Tzalta. No, says Rav Yochanan, you saved your life. And that's fine. So in other words, the simple understanding of the Gemara is that you're allowed to flatter someone, or you're allowed to deceptively suggest that someone, that a sinner did something good, or that you're allowed, when he in fact did not, in order to save your life. Now, this is how Tosus understands in Sotaf Memalafam Beis, where Tosus says that the Makom Sakana Mutter, that you're allowed to, that when we say that you shouldn't flatter your friend, shouldn't engage in chanufa, that's not the Makom Sakana. In times of Sakana, in times of danger, you're allowed to do that. And Tosus and Sota cites the Gemara in the Darim Dav Chaf Beis, the story of Ula. But that's not the only opinion. The truth is, there are some Rishonim who feel that you're even obligated to give up your life rather than praise a wicked person in front of other people. Remember, Beinu Yonah says that in Shari Tshuva, Shar Gimel Os Chaf Kuf Peches. And he points out that if you look at the story of Agrippus, so the way he reads the story of Agrippus is that the people were punished because they flattered, they engaged in chanufa. And even though they should have been concerned that he might harm them, Lo Sagum Pnei Ish, quotes, says Rabbi Yonah, quotes the Pasuk in Devarim, that you shouldn't be afraid of anyone. Rabbi Yonah believes that you should be willing to give up your life rather than flatter someone. And the Mishnah Berurah in Simon Kuf Nun in Or Chaim, Simon Kuf Nun Vav Sifkat and Dalet, Paskins like Tosfos, that you are allowed to flatter someone to save your life, you're allowed to engage in chanufa, you're allowed to give off the impression that someone who engaged in a sinful act did something right. And the Gemara in Sota, Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis, probably there's a debate between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Levi about whether this is permitted or not. The Reish Lakish uses the Yaakov story, and he says that Yaakov flatters Esav. He says that Yaakov says to Esav that when I saw you, it's Kiros Pade Elokim Vatir Tzedi. When I saw you, it's like I saw the face of angels. And so it would seem that, according to Reish Lakish, Yaakov indeed flattered Esav. That's the way the Torah Tamima understood this story of Yaakov and Esav. And he says that Yaakov flattered Esav because he was concerned that Esav would harm him, so he buttered him up, and he said that you're so holy, and you're like a divine being, and so you're allowed to do that to save your life. However, Rabbi Levi in the Gemara understands as a totally, that story, or that line by Yaakov, in a totally different light. Kiros Pnei Elokim Vatir Tzedi, he says, it's Masha Lamad Davar Doma. How is this similar? What's this story similar to? La'adam Shazimin Es Chavero, to someone who invited his friend over. Hikir Bo Shuvakish Largo. And he recognized that the person wanted to kill him. Amr Lo, Tam Tavshil Zesh Ani Toem Ketavshil Shatamti Bebeis HaMelech. Oh, wow. This food that I'm tasting is just like the food that I tasted in the house of the king. Amar, so the host who presumably wanted to kill this guest, said, Yada Le Malka, woo, this person knows the king, Mistafi Lokatile. I'm afraid and I'm not going to kill him. So this is what Yaakov was saying to Esav. Not that, Esav, you're like an Elohim, you're like a divine being, you're angelic, I give you tremendous respect even though you're a wicked person. That's not what he's saying. What's he saying? Rashi actually quotes this opinion. And he says in Vayikra, in in Parshas Vayishlach, Perek Lam Gil, Pasuk Yud, says V'lamal Hiskar Lo Riyas HaMalach. Why do you mention seeing the angel? K'deshi Yorei HeMenu. Said Esav will be afraid of Yaakov Amar, and he will say Ra'a Malachav V'Nitzol Ani Eni Yochol Lo Me'ata. That Yaakov saw angels and he was saved. Oh, Esav cannot obviously harm Yaakov. In other words, when Yaakov said to Esav, oh, when I see you, it's just like I'm seeing angels. What's Yaakov really saying to Esav? He's saying that, oh, when I see you, I just like I saw angels. You know when I saw angels? When I wrestled with an angel and I defeated him, so don't mess with me. That's what Yaakov was hinting to Esav. So perhaps how you understand the story of Yaakov and Esav, or how Yaakov's line of Ki al kirisi panecha kiros pei al kim vatirzeni, how you understand that could determine whether you hold like Tosus or like Rabbi Yoda, whether you're allowed to flatter someone who is a wicked person in order to save your life. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein explains Rabbi Yona's position, and he said that it's based on a marshal. That even though there are only three sins for which you have to give up your life, that chanufa can falsify the Torah. To falsify, you know, if someone engages in sinful behavior and you say, oh, it's wonderful what you did, what are you really doing? You're distorting Torah. So to falsify or distort Torah is a sin on the level of Yehorg Vayavor. You have to die rather than to rule incorrectly in halacha on purpose. Because once you are saying that sinful behavior is totally legitimate, then you're questioning the validity of the Torah and its rules. That's the position of Rabbeinu Yonah based on the Maharshal, and the Maharshal says something similar. So again, that's why there are some Rishonim who feel you have to give up your life rather than to engage in Chanufa. But again, Tosus disagrees, and the Mishnah Berurah paskens you don't have to give up your life rather than to engage in Chanufa. What about to save yourself from financial loss? So the Torah Tamima says, and he cites Tosfos, who says that when Tosfos says in Sota that you don't have to give up your life rather than engage in Chanufa. So Tosfa says that, so he wants to say within Tosfos that's not only in a case of Sakana, but even in a case of financial loss, even a case of Hefsed Mamon Meruba. And Rav Yashiv also, in his Kovetz Aros, also says that the sin of being Machnif a Rasha, of flattering, or deceptively telling announcing that what a wicked person did when he engaged in a sinful action is good, that's only stam. But if the purpose is to prevent yourself from financial loss or harm, so then that's not chanufa, that's not prohibited chanufa, and he proves this from the Urayim. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva that was written in Tavshin Chaf, so it's 1960, and this is an Orach Chaim Chelek Beis Simon Nun Aleph, and the question was whether they had this doctor who was very famous doctor, who was very helpful to the Orthodox Jewish community. He was a big Baal Tzedakah, he helped them a lot, but he was intermarried. And the question was whether the shul was allowed to honor him with psicha. And because if they felt that they wouldn't honor him with psicha, then he might feel like they don't appreciate him and it might not be helpful. He might be helpful to the community in the future. And apparently right now he had an elderly mother who was Shomeris Torah Bachayim. She was observant. So now when she's observant, so that's why maybe he thought now he's doing chasadim, acts of kindness and tzedakah to the tradition of the Orthodox Jewish community. But once she dies, so maybe he'll be distanced himself. So are you allowed to give him the kibud of psicha? On a strict halachic basis, where Moshe writes, there's no isser in giving someone psicha. The question is, what about chanufa? Are you, in giving him the kibud of psicha, are you perhaps encouraging or presenting a distorted view that the fact that he's intermarried, that is okay? So Moshe Feinstein writes that you're not honoring him about the matter. You're not honoring him in the matter about which he has sinned. Everyone knows that when you give the person when you're giving this person the kibud of psicha, you're honoring him for all the chesed that he has performed. There is no implication that by giving him psicha, you are accepting his objectionable lifestyle. And Rav Moshe Feinstein therefore permits it. He says that Shekol iser chanufa hu rak bichgon zed hu hakaskama ala iser valdin sheker. That it's only a prohibition of chanufa in a situation when what you're doing is tantamount to agreement of a prohibited behavior or on a false halacha. Avalahachdi binyanim shelo shaychim lomar shumaskim li surim v'dvarim harayim shuosa. But to flatter him in ways that it's not, no one would have the thought to say that you are agreeing to prohibited acts or sinful acts that he's doing. Efshe shaleka iser klal. It's possible that there's no prohibition of chanufa at all. Go to shabcho biyafyo v'chachmaso to praise someone for his beauty or for his wisdom. Yonei olam v'bidosav is bidosav. He thinks that that's not considered chanufa. So he thought it's permitted to give the person psicha. So let's go back to our questions. So would you be able to honor someone at a dinner who perhaps is, let's say, a public Shabbos violator? So again, it would seem, right, again, the community needs to decide for itself in terms of what they want to promote. And I think that in honoring someone or the organization needs to decide what they want to promote, it would seem that, assuming people wouldn't think that you are celebrating or condoning the particular sin of the person, whether they're intermarried or whether they're publicly violating Shabbos, so then that would be permitted to honor the person at a dinner or a fundraiser. If, let's say, the person was an abusive person or engages in shady business practices, I would assume that the perception would be, if we honor this person, is that we are condoning the sin. And the question really is, when you honor someone as an organization, what does it look like? And again, you have 100 people in the room, so different for one person it may look like X and one person may look like Y. So I would say that when an organization is honoring someone, for the overwhelming majority of people, what does it look like? Does it come across as you honoring sin? If it does, then that would seem to violate chanufa. And if it doesn't, it would not violate chanufa. So it may depend on the sin and the gravity of the sin. But that's the general framework to understand this first question about honoring someone at an organization's fundraiser who may be a public Shabbos violator, who may have a serious character flaw. The question is, what does it look like to the public? Does it look like you're honoring sin or not? You know, for example, if you were to go to, let's say, someone passed away, okay, and the relative of this person was a member of your shul, and so the person's an avel, and for you to participate, and let's say a non-Orthodox clergyman is performing the service, the funeral, I don't think anyone would think that by you going to the funeral, you're endorsing their religious practice, how they're doing it. What about the going to the wedding of someone who's marrying a non-Jew or the same gender? That's a difficult issue. It might not simply be chanufa. It might be machzik de ovei avera. It could be that chanufa is when you're honoring someone, not during the act, the sinful act, and machzik de ovei avera is probably during the act itself. So maybe you can argue if, let's say, it would result in a serious ramifications, perhaps from a family member, or harm the relationship, maybe you can argue this is fits under Rav Yossi's exception of Hefsed Gadol or Hezek, maybe. Let me share with you just some ideas that different Rosh Yeshiva told me when I asked them their thoughts on this. So someone suggested, one of them said to me, he said, at the end of the day, again, question is, when should you go to this wedding, what are people understanding when you go? Will people think that now you are endorsing this relationship, if it's an intermarriage, or not? Maybe everyone, not no one is from, and there's no from Jews around, and it's in a different community, and there's this expectation that family goes to weddings. Maybe it's a difference also whether it's a rabbi. Maybe a rabbi, if he goes, then that's endorsing a non-rabbi. Maybe not. Obviously, cancel culture makes things worse, because in the cancel culture environment that we live in, sometimes attending and joining someone gives off the impression that you endorse. So that's really a question. Is it something that people who are attending simply think, oh, your family, so you're going? Or is there this feeling that when you go, you are endorsing this type of behavior? It's a difficult question to answer. It probably depends on the facts and circumstances. Another Rosh Yeshiva told me, he says that, you know, there could be a mitzvah of tochacha. Now again, even though you may not be obligated in the mitzvah of tochacha to someone who's not observant, but there's another aspect of tochacha, not just tochacha rebuking the person. Hopefully he's going to turn around and repent, but there's also concept of mecha'a. And maybe you have to protest that sinful behavior. Maybe attending a wedding violates that. And it's important to understand that inclusiveness should have its limits. We believe in v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, that you should love your friend, and we believe, but we also believe in Avas Hashem. And Avas Hashem, loving God, should take precedence over Ava for anything else. And it's important to know that people get to make their choices, but just as someone else wishes freedom from my imposing my values on you, so you should also respect that I have deeply held values that may regard your choices as inappropriate. So live and let live must be a two-way street. And sometimes if someone wants to do something which I find is completely anti-halachic, so on the one hand, the person should say, I can't impose my values on him or her. But he or she should also understand that he or she should not therefore feel that I have to accept and celebrate their perspective as well. So it's obviously a tough issue, may depend on facts and circumstances. Rabbi Willig told me that participating in an intermarriage or attending the wedding of an intermarriage or same gender marriage is not just an issue of chanufa, it's an issue of participating in a ceremony of Isser, and participating in it's, you know, even if, let's say, none of the people there know, understand that you're going, you're endorsing that, what would your kids say? And he feels that, in general, going to a wedding of sin, going to an event of Isser, is problematic beyond the prohibition of Chanufa. So the default is you shouldn't go. When might it be prohibited to participate or attend such a wedding? So he says that you can apply the principle of Eis Lasos Lashem Efer Torah Techa, that sometimes you have to violate the halacha for perhaps greater and more important values. So he has paskin under two circumstances. And obviously, again, ask your own Rav, ask your own Posek, but in every fact and circumstance is different. That number one is if the family will fall apart. So obviously, there's a difference if it's a friend versus a cousin versus a child. If you believe that non-attendance, and honestly believe that the family dynamic completely fall apart, so then that might be a reason at times to allow it, to attend at some point. And secondly, if there is a legitimate chance that by attending the wedding, you will remain connected to the person and maybe at some point bring the person back to observance. Obviously, unfortunately, in today's day and age, in many weddings, unfortunately, many marriages end up in divorce. And so by maintaining a connection with the person, that your connection might be the only connection to that person to potentially come back to the fold. And obviously, again, every situation is different. But those are two broad situations where at times he has been lenient. But again, the default should be generally not attend. But these are some situations where he has been lenient. So this is how one might apply chanufa and other considerations to these fact patterns. And finally, even though generally speaking, chanufa is forbidden, but there are times when chanufa is permitted. In the Sefer Orchot Tzadikim, Shar HaChanifus, the Orchot Tzadikim writes, V'yachniv adam li'ishto mishum shalom bayis. One should flatter his wife for the sake of shalom bayis. And also, you should flatter his Rebbe to teach him Torah. And there's a mitzvah to flatter your students so they will learn and observe more mitzvahs. If you, by flattering someone and making someone feel good, and by exaggerating a bit, you're going to inspire them to want to do more Torah and more mitzvahs, then that is a wonderful thing. Because sometimes we think that the best way to effectuate change is to rebuke someone and make someone feel bad and make someone feel guilty. But if you can make someone feel good, even if you go a little bit overboard, if that will encourage them to do mitzvahs, that is permitted chanufah.